The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. The second time, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and my fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you may find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. And the king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. But then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Best thing, though, well, it's not really the best thing. It was something that really, really surprised me. As I'd been reading about this, because I've known for a few months that I had to do this, so I asked Father, not Father, but Father, and I said, "What kind of a wedding garment was everybody supposed to wear?" Because it seems like sometime a long time ago I'd heard that the wedding garment was provided for you when you attended the wedding, and that this one guy just flat out said, "Nope, I'm not going to do that." So anyway, I asked Father, "What is that right? Do they provide that?" And he thought and he looked, and he is one of the smartest people on this planet. I will tell you that right now. All the priests are the most educated people on earth. And I'm not just saying that so I'll get to attend the feast. But anyway, he says, "I am not an authority on ancient Jewish wedding customs." That was the final answer that we could come up with. And he was looking, and I didn't even know where to start. But anyway, the wedding garment was provided at those celebrations. And they called it a kippot, the little hats that they wear. Everyone was given one at the beginning of the wedding. And it was supposed to lighten the mood and entertain the bride and the groom and help bring a little bit of happiness to their day. Not that their wedding day was probably not the happiest day of their lives anyway. It's kind of similar to like a little beanie or a baseball cap with no bill on it. I looked it up and you can get them like thousands and thousands of different kinds. And I noticed one that actually had hair on it. You've all seen the fake hats with the mullet on the back. They wear them a lot up at OSU in Stillwater. Well, and I remember seeing that one because on the news, almost any time there's something like a turmoil or anything going on like there is now in the Middle East, it'll show the men at the Wailing Wall, and they'll all have the same hat on, and the little curly hair is actually a part of that garment that they're wearing. So that's where those come from, and they still have them, they still use them. And now they are called kippahs instead of kippahs. So that's where that ancient tradition comes from. And you still see a lot of religious people, even like the archbishop and the pope, they wear the smaller ones. They're not quite the same size or as decorated and ornate as some of these are. But to get into the story, the parable that he was talking about that I believe was us, our wedding, our celebration, our being baptized into the church, and how it seems like at every sacrament we receive a garment. How many of you remember having one of these? Your baptismal garment. Okay, I remember mine because I was way old when I got baptized. But anyway, every one of you, when you're baptized into the Catholic Church, that's one of the things that you get. And you are given that, and you are told to bring that garment back unstained. So that's a pretty big order right there. And I remember a few weeks ago we had, I love little kids. I'll tell you about that in the baseball here in just a minute. But these little kids, they're so much fun because I don't have to take them home with me anymore. I can do what I want and say, oh yeah, here, take this, I'll feed you ice cream and cake all day, and then you can go home, drive your mom and dad crazy. But back in the old days, and this was given to me by my godparents, Francis and George Jansing, and it's actually a relic of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And I've got another one of St. Jude and a couple of others that were given to me by her. And what they did in the, what I always say, back in the day, back in the old days, was before they could get their children baptized and get that garment put on them, that the mothers and the grandmothers taking care of the babies would take the pin when they would pin the diaper, and they would pin a saint ornament or a relic of a saint on that diaper. And they would just all week or 2 weeks or ever, how long it took, it's like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I want everything to be perfect and safe so I can get this child to baptism. So that was part of the things that they did back in the old days. I don't guess you still do it now. I mean, I don't remember it. But that is our baptism. Is the garment we get, the white stole, the white vest covering that we get, that is just like us being married to Jesus. That's when our life with Christ starts. And you look at that and we go through all of the sacraments. When we have our first communion and we watch all the little kids come up here and all the little girls are like they're in little white wedding dresses, and the little boys are in little white suits and tuxedos and things like that. That's really neat. And then again later on, years later sometimes, when they're confirmed, they have a robe that they are given. And then they have a stole placed on over it. So once again, you're getting that garment and you're just strengthening that marriage that you have with Christ. Every time that we walk in here and every time we celebrate one of these sacraments or receive one of them, we're strengthening that bond. And we go on with the reconciliation, and honestly, I should crawl on my hands and knees when I go back there, because I feel so bad about things as much now that I haven't done as what I have done. And I actually had an anointing a couple of weeks ago. And so far it's actually worked out. We'll find out soon enough though. But to your anointing you go, and you go to the priest and you pray, and he prays with you, and he anoints you with the oil of the infirmed and prepares you and helps you deal with your illnesses, things like that. In marriage, all of us that have been married, I was married right here, I know a lot of you were, and you have the white, you wear the white dress, the bride does, the groom always dresses up, and you come here and your rings, you're given your rings that are blessed by the priest, and you exchange vows with your husband, your wife, and with Christ. All of those things happen at a marriage. And then at an ordination, which I can only imagine is probably one of the hardest things that a person can accomplish in life, is being able to go through all of the training and all the education and all the work and actually live the life that they have promised Christ they would. And then when that happens, once again, you're given a vestment to wear. You know, as a deacon, we were given an alb and a stole and a dalmatic, which are, these things are terribly hot, by the way. And, you know, the priests have the archbishop or the bishop there to do theirs just like we did ours. And it's a moment in life that leaves a mark on you forever. All of these things do. And that's what this one man, this one guy that just said, you know, I'm going to go and just eat and drink, but I'm not going to participate in all the other festivities. I don't believe what you believe. I'm not going to do what the rest of you are going to do. But the invitations went out. The ones that were first invited, none of them showed. So they went out and said, invite the rest of these people. None of them showed up either. And then the king says, you go out and you grab every person you can off of the road. And this particular road was the one that separated the promised land from the land of the Gentiles. So they went there, and that's where all of these people came from. It's like when, you know, I get out there and I'll run the vacuum cleaner. You run over something and it doesn't pick it up. I'm looking at you guys because I know you do this. You run over it again, still doesn't pick it up. So what do? You reach down, you pick it out of the carpet, you look at it, you throw it down again, and then you run over and it finally gets picked up the third time. That's the way that is. And that's the way this invitation to this banquet went. Come in. Nope. Okay. You come in. No. Okay, I'm going to go out here and drag these people in, and they're going to come, and by golly, we're going to have a wedding. That's how this story went. But the meaning of it, in my mind and in my heart, is that the people that were chosen just didn't understand or didn't want to be bothered by it. And then the other people that weren't chosen, they may have had other things to do or just wasn't going to go. I wasn't first on your list. Why should I go? And then there's us. I mean, when you look at that and you really read it, we're the people that they were talking about that were drug in to the banquet forcibly. Getting an invitation and just saying, you are invited to the banquet. That's not your ticket. That's not getting your ticket punched by doing that. You have to live every one of these sacraments that we receive. And most of us will have at least six of them, or five, or some maybe just three or four. I can say I received all seven of them right here in this church while I was at St. Joe's. I bet the Pope can't even say that. But that's what I would, that I feel in my heart is everyone needs to be here. If I have to drag you here, which we do with our kids, which my wife had to do with me for many years, was drag me here. That is the beginning, is come to church. You may not participate. You may not come up for communion. You may be like me and not sing very loud. You may not do a few things, but at least be here. It's a start. It's a step in the right direction. And that's what we're wanting to do. Now for my baseball thing. I always drive Father crazy because I always talk to the altar servers and I say, you know, back in my day, you've heard that? Back in the day, back in the old days. By the way, this is a official 1994 World Series baseball signed by each player on the teams that played. Who can tell me who won that? Okay. Anyway, but I have fun with baseball, and I started umpiring. And I get the little kids, little T-ball kids and coach pitch. They are so much fun. And I was telling this little kid something about, you know, back when I was a kid, he looked at me and he goes, did they even have baseball when you were a kid? I liked that kid immediately. I mean, how could you not? Somebody 6 years old and he's already that witty. But to close this out on one of my favorite things, and like I said, is baseball, because I get to spend a lot of time with little kids, and hopefully it's like I tell the people that run it, if I can teach them one thing, just one thing, if they'll take one thing away and it's a good thing, then I've done my job. But there, Leo DeRocher, they have this on a plaque up in the top where the umpires meet, and it says, baseball is like church. Many attend, but few understand. God bless you.